Good morning, Potter's Foursquare. Hope all is well with you. Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office for our Sunday Bible study. If you have your Bible open this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 14. We'll be starting in verse 13. And this morning we're going to be taking a look at the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, aside from the resurrection story that we see in every single gospel, all four, the synoptic gospels and the gospel of John, the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four gospels. And that's a significant thing because usually there are very few things that all four gospels cover. And this is one of those miracles. So obviously the gospel writers consider this a significant miracle. So when Jesus fed the masses that day, he began with, you know, we know the story, some loaves, you know, five loaves and two fish. And we know that they were borrowed from a boy's lunch in John chapter 6, verse 9. And that he fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish is miraculous. But the Greek term that is used in Matthew 14, 21 specifies males, right? And further emphasis of the point was made besides women and children, and many scholars believe that the actual number was about 15,000 to 20,000 people. So you're talking about a small stadium of people that were looking to be blessed by the Lord, and they were completely blessed by the Lord. But more importantly, the disciples were the people that were blessed even more so because they were part of the miracle, which is what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you have a moment, open your Bible again in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, and we'll begin reading. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Now, we're picking up a story that Jesus is responding to, which was John the Baptist's death and beheading. Upon hearing that, he went away to a solitary place. Why? He felt bad. This is a significant loss for Jesus, right? Not only was it his family member, he was a cousin, but he was the forerunner. He was the guy that was out preaching in the wilderness and preaching a doctrine of repentance that was really setting up for Jesus to have a successful ministry. And now he's gone. And the reason he was gone, as we met last week and discussed this, was purely prideful. It was this cancel culture. What John had to say was not popular, and so we cancel him. Verse 14, back to our text, it says, when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only five loaves of bread and two fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the disciples to sit down on the grass and taking five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Father, bless your word this morning, Lord, as we study. Give us insight into your scripture. Give us insight into what the Spirit is saying to the church through this message. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would accept our motivation found in your word, Lord, that we are to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And that is our motivation. And we pray that you bless it this morning in Jesus' name. So, a couple of observations. The reaction of the disciples is the first thing that I see. So, Jesus' disciples had wanted to send the people away because evening was approaching and they were in a remote place. Well, that's probably, according to the storyteller, the way that he saw it. But I think the disciples had a long, long day. And they probably just wanted to go home. They didn't have the stamina, obviously, that Jesus had. And they knew that the people needed to reach the surrounding villages soon to buy food and lodging, etc., or they would likely grow hungry. Remember, they were in a remote place. They had to get to a place where they could get all these things, and it was getting late. And then we have the reaction of Jesus, which is far different from the disciples. The disciples are saying, hey, you know, tell them to go home. And Jesus is saying, no, I got a better idea. you give them something to eat. And then we have more responses from the disciples. At this point, the disciples should have recalled the many miracles that Jesus had done in their presence. Perhaps some of them did, but Andrew asked, what are 5 loaves and 2 fish? What are we going to do? There's so many. And that was his response in John chapter 6, verse 9. And Philip, you know, Philip explains or exclaims, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. That's the response that Jesus gets from these men of faith. And if you can imagine the look on Jesus's face when he knows exactly what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, but they're not seeing it, they're not remembering, and they're not walking by faith, they're walking by sight. How are we any different? We know that God has unlimited capabilities to provide for our need. Yet when we get into the thick of it, we start thinking about how we can get ourselves out of whatever we got ourselves in instead of inquiring of the Lord. So what does Jesus do? He sets the plan in order and he calls for the bread and the fish to be brought to him. And he gave thanks for the meal and he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples to give to the crowd. And amazingly, the entire multitude was fed with a small meal. It's an amazing thing. If you think about it, Jesus provided as much as they wanted, according to John chapter 6, 11, and they ate all and were satisfied, according to Matthew 14, 20. And Jesus did not just meet the need. He lavished them with so much food that there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish that were left over, Mark chapter 6, 43. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean? You've heard this miracle over and over again, and we've all looked at it from the place of, oh yes, it's the Lord, he feeds the hungry. I challenge you. There is another approach that you could take from this text. I'm not suggesting that Jesus feeding the hungry is the wrong approach. I'm just suggesting that there are other approaches. And the other approach is that this miracle was done not for the people, but for the disciples. So that they could be reminded that when we give God little, God does great things. And we ought to be concerned about giving God the little, or being faithful with the little, so that God will make us faithful over the much. So in interpreting this morning, the abundance of the Lord, that's the first thing that I get out of this. The abundance of the Lord. God will shatter the small expectations of what, you know, we bring him when we just do that, when we bring him what we have. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much in God's economy. When Christians are willing to offer their lives sacrificially, relinquishing that hold on whatever God has given them in terms of time and money and talents, God's going to do extraordinary things, period. That's what he does. How can he do extraordinary things if we're not willing to give him the little? God says, be faithful in the little things, I'll make you faithful over the big things. God says in his word, it's the foolish things of this world that confound the wise. Don't think for a second that there was just one meaning to this miracle of hungry people eating. Because the disciples were hungry. They were just hungry for a spiritual lesson that only Jesus knew that they needed. God uses the ordinary things to create extraordinary things. That's why our little is so important in the abundance of the Lord. Christians must never believe their resources are too little to serve God. God delights in taking a humble, seemingly insignificant person and using that person for his glory, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27. The abundance of the Lord. I want you to remember that. I want you to consider it. I want you to ponder it and weigh it. If God has ultimate abundance, more than we could ever imagine or ask or think of, then what is the barrier from us receiving that abundance? I'll tell you what it is. It's faith. Because it doesn't say that in the story, but I can almost guarantee you that the thought of Jesus was, oh, ye of little faith. Here you want to send people away that have come to be ministered to. You want to send them away instead of blessing them one more time. That is the mindset of a lot of people who make the ministry their rules, their way, instead of God's way. And the second thing I see in this particular story is the way of the flesh. So if you look at from the disciples' perspective, the way of the flesh was abundant because we saw it in every response. Phillips, in his mind, he immediately ran to the cost of the project. He quickly calculated how many man hours it would take to feed all of these people. And he, you know, did his multiplication and figured out it's going to take a half a year's salary just to get a bite. He saw the task as impossible because he approached it as everything depending upon his work. Somebody would have to work 6 months to feed all these people, instead of God snapping his fingers and it'd be done. If you look at Jesus' approach, Jesus bypassed all the human effort and did the impossible. The Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Zechariah chapter 4, 6. And as believers, we should be reminded that our problems are never too large for God to solve. God can handle it. He has the capacity. And probably Andrew was wondering, what good are we going to do with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? You know, we have a food ministry in our church, and we could easily look and say, what are we going to do? I mean, we have 50 families get fed. How do we know that God in his manifold blessing doesn't take those 50 families, and because they're blessed now, they begin to bless other people? And how do we know that from one outreach to the next, we go from 50 to 60 to 70 to 80 to 100 to 200 to 500 to 1,000. We're never going to know that if we don't start giving God the little that we have. Of course, theoretically, believers know God can easily multiply whatever he wants and feed as many people as he wants. He's God. The problem comes in when we're faced with the practical outworking of the theory. And I encourage you to sort of open up your mind and think about what would have to happen. Let's go back to the events of the day, okay? Let's go back and see. Jesus calls for the bread and the fish to be brought to him. Then he gave thanks for the meal. He broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples. They probably all got one piece. They put it in their basket and he says, now go take it and feed them. And they're walking around with one piece of bread in their basket. And every time, now it doesn't say that this happened, but how else could it have happened? Every time they put their hand in that basket, there's another piece of bread to hand out. And if there's another person, there's another piece. And if there's another person, there's another fish. And over and over and over again, every time there's a need, every time there's a human need, they put their hand in the basket to meet it. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. The problem comes when we are faced with the practical outworking of how God is going to do a miracle that we begin to doubt. And that's the thing that God wants us to get rid of. If God calls us to do it, we do it. And if we can't do it on a mass scale, then we do it on a small scale, and God will bless that and multiply that. The third thing here in interpreting is Jesus's miracle was through people. It was through people that he got this work done. It's important to note that Jesus fed all of these people through the ministry of the disciples. He could have easily snapped his fingers and caused a meal to be present right in their lap. Instead, he gave it to the disciples for them to distribute, for their faith to be fulfilled and strengthened, that they would grow in this way. His disciples had to trust the Lord for everything that they distributed. They could only give what they received. And Philip and Andrew and the rest of them were put in a position of total dependence upon the Lord for their supply. It's an amazing thing because God still uses people the same way today. And he wants to use you today. And we must bring everything that we have, even if it's little, to God. I want you to consider that basket, and you have your basket. And you look in your basket and there's one thing to give God. And you're like, oh, what does it matter? It's only one thing. Well, you're not going to get the other thing until you use that thing. And you put your hand in the basket and then there's more. Let's apply this morning. The first thing in application is we must bring to the Lord our little. We got to bring our lives to God in a simple spirit of obedience and sacrifice. Period. We don't argue with God. It's not about the disciples being embarrassed if they didn't have enough food. It was about being obedient and putting their hand in the basket. No matter how significant we may think our gifts and our talents are, it doesn't matter. If God wants to use them, we start in a small way and He makes it a big way. It's got to start with little. God doesn't need abundance from you. He needs little from you. And number two, we must expect then in return when we give little that we're going to get abundant. We got to expect God to go beyond what we can imagine or think according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's so big, it's so good, it's so abundant. If God were to tell you before He blessed you, you wouldn't believe Him anyway, so why bother? We must expect His abundance. That's the faith that we need to have. That mustard seed faith that says, I'm going to keep putting my hand in the basket because God's going to keep providing. And number three, the Lord wants to include me and you in ministering His abundance. And guys, as believers, we need to trust that God not only wants to meet our needs, but He wants to meet everybody's needs through us. He wants to lavish His children with spiritual blessings, even to overflowing, Psalm 23:5. He wants to use the distribution of His blessings, and we are a part of those miracles. We get to distribute the blessings of the Lord. Jesus left behind a part of Himself. And He left it in the form of you. You are what He left behind. You are the blessing that He left behind to meet the needs. And the only way that you do that is not by filling up your basket. It's by sticking your hand in the basket and letting Him fill it. And there you will find blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. You may stumble upon this sermon this morning online and you're looking for a miracle, and I'm telling you, God has a miracle for you. And the greatest miracle that He could perform, even greater than this feeding the 5,000 or the 10 or the 20, is the fact that He wants to save you, and He can do that if you do one thing. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And when you're saved, you're sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're given the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and you're given the ability to walk in the Spirit, and that radically changes your life. And if you've made that decision, call the church office. You'll find the phone number on the website and let us know what you have decided and prayed over, and we will rejoice with you. If you listen regularly, He has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that now. God bless. See you guys next week.